on WNRN. The Wake Up Call is supported by Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Now your host, Rick Moore.
And thanks to everybody for joining us today. It's a beautiful Sunday. It's not too hot outside. Don't do it right now, but, you know, about 12:01, go outside. Do some yard work. Lay out and get that tan. That way you can make me look even more blazing white. I went outside yesterday and realized, boy, you're going to get sunburned in about 2 minutes. Our guests today, as we talk about an organization called Spark of Music, and we talk about music, the importance in the community, the passion. I've got a musician here today. We're going to play a couple songs off a couple of the discs. Our guest, Carla, I say mano.
I say mano.
And you say mano. Why are you taunting me that way? Carla Mano from the organization Spark of Music is here. We also have Amy Laufer. She's from the Charlottesville City School Board. Good morning.
Good morning.
And we also have Eric Red Kinnearum.
Howdy, Rick. Thanks for having me.
So, a musician, a representative of the Charlottesville City School Boards. And Carla, what in the world do you do?
So, Rick, that's a great question. I like to say I'm between jobs. We do that a lot in Charlottesville. I'm currently at the Darden Business School, an executive MBA program, and I do work a little bit mostly volunteering with legal aid and with my business, Accord Consulting, working with families with kids with disabilities. But Spark of Music is born out of the outreach project of my cohort at Darden right now. We're really inspired by doing a lot of outreach locally, and folks live all over the country, so they're doing things in their own communities. But I was fortunate enough to be elected as outreach coordinator for the class, and feel like, you know, a history of over 20 years in Charlottesville has given me some perspective of some of the needs, and I'm still listening to organizations about what they need. But Spark of Music was voted on by my class. They wanted to do an education fund. We had a party, put out four baskets, and said, which of these do you want to do? And they pretty much unanimously voted for the music one. We didn't have a name. This was February of this year. Decided to call it Spark of Music and developed some collaboration with local musicians as well as schools. And we're really mostly trying to fund lessons for kids who wouldn't normally have access, as well as access to instruments. And we're working in coordination with the Music Resource Center for some of their efforts, where our goal is not to duplicate or, you know, step on current organizations' programs, but to actually support those and fill in needs where they aren't. One of the things we're also doing differently, Rick, and why I was really glad that Red could be here today, is we want to reach out to musicians who are, you know, it's a tough town to live in. It's expensive if you're an artist. People move here based on the arts and knowing it's a funky community, but it's like Keep Austin Weird. People can't afford to live here. And so we're looking for ways that musicians can also realize that they have a viable business in being able to be, you know, real solid music instructors. So that's a piece of it.
All right. So we're going to be talking about this organization, Spark of Music. They are a nonprofit or not-for-profit. I'm not sure what the difference is. You'd think as many shows as I've done with nonprofit organizations. We're going to be talking about Spark of Music because it fascinated me about the need for igniting the passion of younger kids. It also caught my attention because lessons are for bands and not just for single individuals. And we'll get through this throughout the hour. To do this, a lot of attention is needed from the school systems to help get to the younger age groups, because a lot of this is not just for high school kids, because now they have an instrument and now they have the attention. But, and I where did that phrase go? Somewhere in here about those who are needy. What's the word that I want there, Carla?
Well, we like to think of it as access and awareness. We have a lot of, especially in the early years, some, you know, families will call the school and say, you know, hey, how do I get my instrument? And maybe they haven't had within their own lives the support of music, and they have a kid who is really interested in it but sort of doesn't know where to turn. So we're looking for awareness and access, and we're starting
needs-based.
Needs-based, sorry. I thought not the word you were looking for.
Yeah, well, the phrase, yeah. But that, I thought that that was interesting as well, as the needs-based perspective. And I want to make sure we get into that. And then Red Canarium is here to actually play us a little bit of music, although not to the extent that I had hoped for. You know, that's all my fault. I'll take the blame for that. Red, you're with the group Red and the Romantics?
I sure am, Rick. I've been loving playing music out in the public scene, in the bars and in the parks and festival types of places.
Give me a touch of what Red and the Romantics do.
Well, what we are is a trio right now, but we're expanding very slowly. But
you need more romantics? Because I can be really romantic.
I can tell you've got that romantic touch. Well, our accordion player is especially a special woman, Betty Jo Dominic, and she's been singing lately, and that's a wonderful addition to the sound. And Steve Riggs is our upright bass player, and he is a phenomenal rhythm man. He's been all over the world with that bass, and he's kind enough to share his gift with me and my songs. And our regular venues we love performing at are the Whiskey Jar Restaurant every Monday evening from 7 to 10 p.m. And on Tuesday evenings, we regularly play at the Dirty Nelly's Pub, a wonderful old hole-in-the-wall bar full of soul and Charlottesville history. We usually start early there, too, around 7 p.m.
I am quite familiar with Dirty Nelly's from my days at the university.
Yeah.
So Red's with us today to talk about the passion of being a musician, where that comes from. Again, you know, Carla, you talk about the spark of music coming from a project at the Darden Center, from a program you're involved with there. When you mention the Darden Center here in Charlottesville, you don't get a lot of community-based words that pop up in your head. It doesn't seem to be the prototype for why people go to the Darden School, or even something that the Darden School emits. How does that come about?
Yeah, I've got to say, and I did get a little bit of jesting from friends when they said, what are you doing going to get your MBA at Darden? I got to tell you, I am so impressed with what goes on there. I mean, just this nascent idea for Spark of Music, it took very little time. Professors are totally supportive. I just met a guy last week, folks in the community would know, Ed Freeman. Not one of our specific professors in our program has a recording studio in his basement. I heard about his work through a musician, Mike D'Antoni, who restores instruments and will be working with us as a volunteer. And so I sit in Ed's office. He's got the literal open door policy. We start talking about music. He offers to play a community benefit for us. Our next time we do a benefit, we're having one this Thursday. I want to mention it. The MRC, and we can talk about that later. But, you know, our class, we decided what kind of representatives we wanted for efforts, and outreach was just one of them. We could have gone a different way or done entrepreneurial things, but that is what these folks want. And there's...
Now, when you say these folks,
the
you're talking
students,
about the other
yeah,
students
the other
in your
students
group,
in my group
about the
are,
Darden School as an organization?
A little bit of both. You know, Darden does a lot. They have fundraisers to support a really huge one, a silent auction to support SHE, Shelter for Help and Emergency, and they're constant. There's a professor, Greg Fairchild, who is actually recently voted, I think, maybe best business professor in the world, something like this, the way these rankings go. I'm not exactly sure, and I totally misquoted Greg. Apologize out there. But he does work with education in the prisons, and there are all kinds of things going on at Darden that you wouldn't necessarily hear about if you just glossed over or drove by the building, which I used to call the Emerald City, and now I'm there. But our group also, my class, is doing Spark of Music is just one of our endeavors. We're supporting the building of a well in Cambodia right now for fresh water in one area, and part of our cohort will be visiting that well in late September. and reporting back. We're working with veterans and conversations with the CEO of Prudential because he does a lot with education for veterans returning from war. And so I have a conference call on Tuesday with one of those VPs at Prudential to try to support their efforts. So really a lot comes out of Darden that you wouldn't necessarily hear about. And part of why we're really thankful, Rick, to have time here to talk with you about Spark of Music is that it isn't what you'd normally consider is coming out of Darden, but these things are happening all the time, not just with our group.
That's Carla Mano. She's representing the Spark of Music organization. Carla, you were the upcoming event, and we'll mention this multiple times, but it is a fundraiser for the organization?
Yeah, we're hosting a benefit concert. As I said earlier, Rick, I really want to support existing projects, and one of the main ones, when I told community members that we were doing Spark of Music, they said, oh, you should hook up with the MRC. So Sibley John's there, who's the executive
director.
Music Resource Center. She and I have talked about doing a series of benefit concerts, and the first one is this Thursday from 7:30 to 10:30, and if you'd like an invite for that, please go to our website, which is sparkofmusic.org, and go to the events page, and you'll read all about that. It is 7:30 to 10. We have E3, which is Andy Waldeck, who is involved with a lot of local endeavors. He is in that band. It's a really great, fun band. They played at the Wintergreen Fireworks last year, and they'll be playing for us.
We'll continue to mention that throughout the hour, and so that people can write it down or come up with it. 11:13 here on the Wake Up Call. We're talking about music, the Spark of Music organization, where the internal spark comes from, and how the local cities and counties help with that. Red Kinnearum, Carla Mano, Amy Laufer, who's with the Charlottesville City School Board. Write down the phone number if you have a question or a story that you want to tell about how the Spark of Music came about to be with you. 979-0919. That's 434-979-0919 here at WNRN. Amy Laufer from the Charlottesville City School Board. There's been a lot of conversation over the past years, and I don't think it just pops up in 2008 or 9 when the economy takes a hit and there's all sorts of talk about budget, but certainly before that as well, about arts in the school system. Now, how does the city of Charlottesville and the school board determine what focus to put on the arts system in our schools?
Well, I think part of what Carla is saying about the community really appreciating the fine arts, both, you know, making art, doing music, definitely the school board, and I think our city is really invested in this. In fact, our band and orchestra has been winning, you know, multiple awards for many years, actually won since 1984. So I think the schools are definitely invested in the arts. We see how great it is for kids to be active in these things. And we're really excited about Carla because we want to help kids get more help with music. We have our orchestra starts in fifth grade. So when you come into Walker, you get to choose an instrument, and we have these wonderful instructors that are helping you. And we see great participation in our Walker program. And on our Buford program, we see a little bit less participation. But by CHS, sometimes we see even less kids staying with the program. And so what we're hoping Carla's organization can do is help students get more help outside of the classroom to keep that spark alive during summer breaks and after school. So I think it's a great partnership, and we're really excited about it.
And now, Red Kiernan here from Red and the Romantics. You went through the Charlottesville City School System, correct?
Indeed, I did, all the way up from kindergarten through graduating from Charlottesville High.
And when did the spark take you over?
Oh, that's a great question, Rick. I guess really it took me when I was about 14.
Is that a late bloomer?
I guess.
For music? Does anybody know about that?
But I was enjoying playing the trumpet at Walker, and even played some trumpet at Buford, and learned a lot about the whole musical arena from some wonderfully talented teachers. Kevin White was really a great, great instructor on how to play some beautiful music. But I fell in love with my own gift of songwriting, I guess more like puberty age, 13, 14. I guess
because women, girls came
into
exactly,
your life? I think that's exactly what it had to do with.
Yeah, no surprise. I need to take a break, but Red, can you do me a favor? You were talking about, you know, humming a little sort of poetic music before we took a break. Do that real quick. Now,
thank
for
you.
Those who are listening, we can't sort of play the best that we had hoped for, and that's my inabilities to run the mixer. But you can hum a little poetry as we go out, correct?
Wonderful, Rick. Yes, I was just hoping for this opportunity. Last night I wrote this little poem for my fiance, so I've come full circle with that romantic idea.
All right, hum me the poetry. We'll take a quick break.
How I wonder what you're dreaming while you are sleeping so sound. The sunshine is coming through the window. Soon you'll be coming around.
Support for Independent Music Radio WNRN comes from Pocahontas Live, presenting Slightly Stupid with Atmosphere and the Budos Band on August 14th. Atmosphere and Slightly Stupid bringing a night of hip-hop and reggae to Pocahontas State Park in Chesterfield. Gates at 5, music at 5:30, tickets at PocahontasLive.com.
Support for Independent Music Radio WNRN comes from locally owned Lloyd's Hallmark in the Pantop Shopping Center next to Food Line, Route 250 East, at the foot of Pantop's Mountain. Lloyd's Hallmark celebrates graduations and summer birthdays with an extensive selection of greeting cards, gifts, and party supplies. Online at SevilleShop.com/Pantops.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
Don't strut, no, he don't scratch around for no crack cold. His brains are down in the red tail belly way up in the old oak tree. But his breasts and thighs are gone in the oven, and tonight they're gone in me. No, I don't raise chicken to feed the hawk, but the hawk's all right with me. Won't chamber no round to bring him down, no matter how many he eats. 'Cause the hawk was here before my chickens, and I hope he's here to stay. Even though I'm mad as the dickens that he took my chicken away. I miss my rooster.
And that's Red and the Romantics from the CD Franklin Street with Chicken Hawk, right?
Yeah, it's been a favorite of some of the regulars around the pub.
Yeah, they had Whiskey Jar going, Chicken Hawk, yeah, Chicken Hawk.
As silly as it may sound, it happens.
Well, you know, when you're at a bar, you get a lot of silly stuff going on with people. You get the bar and the music together. Is that something that you teach during Spark of Music, is always make sure to have something that will, you know, ease the flow of finding your spark?
We are serving some alcohol at our benefit this Thursday, folks. But, you know, it's funny about the Whiskey Jar. Since they start early enough, it's pretty embarrassing that my son, who's 3, can say Whiskey Jar, and can we go to the Whiskey Jar, Mama? Because we do go down. And, in fact, this morning I was cooking up some pancakes, and we put Red and the Romantics on for our breakfast music. And Giancarlo, my son, just really, really loves Red. It's music so much so that Betty Joe and the gang are going to be playing at his birthday party coming up. So the other thing I want to mention, Rick, is that it's not an accident that these folks are in the room with us, because actually Eric and I have known each other since, I guess he mentioned being 13. I was a teacher at Buford Middle School when he was a student there, and Can't tell if it makes me feel old or young to have friends now who were students in those days. But, you know, just to see the development through the years, all the things that he's been interested in. I mean, Red's got lots of stuff he could talk about. He could lay stone for you. He could build your house, et cetera. And music is just one of his you know, major talents. But, yeah.
Oh, shucks.
Yeah, we do. So that's kind of nice to have that full history of time. And it's one of the things we want to do with Spark of Music is that one of the things we know that kids benefit from educational and community perspective is to know that someone cares about them, that is directly linked to educational academic outcomes. And so back to, you know, more in Amy's arena and speaking from a former teacher, just the idea with Spark is to also have kids who wouldn't normally have somebody taking a close focus on them to be, you know, mutually an exchange. I don't even want to call it mentorship because I think the instructors get a lot out of that time as well. But to have someone who really cares about keeping their interests alive and seeing where they are, and even if the spark doesn't continue, if it turns out they're not as into their instrument as they thought they were and they want to move into choral music or something else, or they get into sports, that to have had those years of attention speaks volumes and can have a lot of outcomes for them.
Now, we're talking about the Spark of Music organization. We're talking about music. You heard Red and the Romantics there a little before we went out and a little bit when we came back from our underwriter break. We're talking about how that works in the school systems. We have Red Kinnearum, we have Amy Laufer, we have Carl Amano here. Amy Laufer from the Charlottesville City School Board. Amy, go back to how the school board is using Spark of Music as an assistance to what is currently going on with the music, the arts organization, the arts classwork. Now, Spark of Music costs nothing to the Charlottesville City School System, correct?
Right. Actually, I think it's a real testament to Carla, how deep her roots are in this community. I mean, as a former teacher at Buford, she knows the program, she knows the people, and she was able to connect with a lot of our educators to offer this amazing program. I know that she's met with our actually now retired fine arts director, Jeff Suling, and spoke with him about this program. I just think that's a testament to Carla and her roots in the system, and the fact that our school system is so interested in keeping our children you know, interested in the arts, and really looking at her organization as something that can help us to do that.
Did the usage of Spark, and if that's not the right phrase, somebody correct me, but is the usage of Spark of Music as an organization with the goals of promoting music, how did that work through the school board? Because I would assume you don't just pick an organization and say, oh, let's let them help us.
Right. No, actually, I know she didn't. Well, I know Carla, actually, for a couple of years now, and some of the other board members have, too. So, I mean, it came off just as, you know, friendly conversation. And I attended one of the, actually, as well as other board members, I guess, were also at one of the fundraisers. So I think that was kind of the preliminary start. And then Carla had conversations with, you know, our associate superintendent of curriculum, and also with Jeff Suling, our fine arts director. So I think they really took the ball and ran with it, if so to speak.
Are there, or let's assume that there are, what are the standards that need to be met by Spark of Music for this to be considered successful?
Well, I think having one child just participate in Spark of Music and feel inspired to stay with an instrument or stay in the fine arts program, I think that is a success. I mean, you're absolutely right that it's not costing the school system, but we benefit when we see our children succeeding in other ways. And, you know, as Carla has said, you know, it benefits the whole child academically as well as personally. So
it's Amy Laufer from the Charlottesville City School Board. Red Kinnearum from Red and the Romantics. Not a participant from using Spark of Music, but are you a volunteer? Are you donating time? Are you giving lessons or just watching others? You know, what is considered successful to you for the organization?
For for me, the Spark of Music program is something that I could have, looking back at my time at Buford and Walker, I know for a fact that I was among quite a few talented, extremely talented young people. And sadly enough, the place that I got to hang out with them was in the in-school detention, also known as ISD. I'd sit in the little cubicle with a wall to my left and a wall to my right, and a wall straight ahead, and my little stack of dittos to do in front of me, and learning absolutely nothing there, of course. And then off to my right, down five or six cubicles, I hear the tap of a pencil. And then behind me, on an opposite-facing cubicle, I hear the thump of a knee against the bottom of the desk. And then rhythmically in comes a couple of palms of some hands against the wall of the cubicle, and they're making this most unbelievable melody of rhythm. And the talent is so deep. And those people were gifted. And they were right there pursuing their God-given gifts. And if only they had been encouraged to take that extremely seriously at that young age and recognize that as a direction that they could go in to earn a living, and they might not have gotten locked up in prison or had children accidentally, or you know, lots of different directions that they went in that I know of could have been avoided.
11:28 here on the Wake Up Calls. We talk about music. Eric Kinnearum here talking with me about where his love of music comes from. Amy Laufer from the Charlottesville City School Board talking about how to incorporate the organization Spark of Music into our local school systems. And Carla Mano, she's representing the Spark of Music nonprofit, created, surprisingly to me anyway, from a group at the Darden School. Again, I don't often assume or associate words like community and nonprofits with the Darden School, and apparently unfair to me. I don't know how some of the others out there listening, what your associated words are with Darden School. Well, let's keep them fair. 979-0919, if you'd like to call up, ask a question. I would love to hear from some other musicians. If you're out there today, call up and tell me about the early parts in your life when you decided that music was more than just a required course or something that showed up as a Christmas gift to you because your parents thought it was a good idea. 434-979-0919. Brandon's here today to answer the phone. We'd love to hear you call. Carla, we talk about your ties with our local music resource center and the effort to not step on one another's responsibilities or goals.
Yeah, so as soon as we had that first event, the one with throwing the money in the baskets and picked Spark Music, I knew that my first task was to sort of pound the pavement and go back around and talk to folks in the community. So that Monday, I talked with Sibley Johns, took a tour of the Music Resource Center to see where they were now in their projects, talked with her about her needs, talked with her about our nascent idea and what we're thinking of doing. And she was totally jazzed about the idea of connecting up and seeing where our synergies were. And one of the things that, you know, they haven't focused as much on is the band instruments and definitely vocal music. They're working right now to do some kind of cool songwriting projects. Terry Allard actually contacted me yesterday via Facebook to promote the benefit, and she's doing this really neat songwriting project with girls. So they're doing a lot of things that we can learn from and support them in. The benefit this Thursday, part of the money will go to Spark of Music, and the other half will go to the Music Resource Center, and specifically we're earmarking funds to help them develop their upstairs space. They've got that neat old church at Ridge in Maine, which is where the event will be, and Sibley and the board have worked extensively on ideas and grants related to developing that space to be accessible for kids after school, for performance space, and for maybe even practice space. In some ways, we talk about working together to share their space. If we have a kid who can't find transportation to X, Y, or Z lesson, or the musician can't make it to their house, we might use MRC space. So it's really a coordination and a finding out where needs are. So, we're really, really excited about connecting up with the MRC and making sure that we work forward with them.
All right. Want to get a follow-up question to that, but before we do, we have Mike on the phone. Hi, Mike.
Hi there.
You got a question or a comment?
No, this is Mike D'Antoni from Music for Hope. I know Carla, you're doing a great job. I'm just driving to a gig right now, and I may lose you because I'm heading out to Scottsville, but I just wanted to say, you know, I love the way you're talking about experiences that young children had. I mean, for me, I'm 54, so yeah, watching the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show kind of sealed the deal, but I was into the Supremes and groups like that. And yes, there's definitely, I've seen firsthand the need for introducing music to children, children any age, and then giving them options and letting them know that it's okay, music is okay, in addition to all the scholastics they have to learn in school.
Mike, what was your first instrument?
I'm sorry, what was what now?
What was your first instrument that you...
Oh, sure. Well, my dad brought a Magnus organ home. I don't know if you ever heard of the brand Magnus. They were slow, and they were small, and it was like, I loved it. It was just a little organ, maybe a foot and a half wide by... 6 inches deep, and we got it at a yard sale somewhere. You know, we didn't have a whole lot of money. It just was wonderful, because then I could find notes up and down. And my grandmother had a piano, so whenever I went over there, I would doodle on it.
And what kept you going? I mean, Carla mentioned early on in the program that Charlottesville, Albemarle can be tough to earn your money and live in. For musicians.
Excellent question, because I'm actually going somewhere to help earn my money. Right now I teach private music and I do, music jobs, gigs. So at that early stage it was just, became a good habit to be drawn to musical instruments. I eventually got a guitar and found ways to always have pianos with me, no matter how poor I was. Keyboards, some kind of keyboard or piano with me. If not in my home, at least I knew someone that had a piano, and it was a drive, a real urge to play music. I think there are a lot of kids out there that sense that, that have that urge to explore, and whether they go, how far they go with it, it becomes a hobby or a love or just a lifelong endeavor. It's wonderful that there are groups, Music for Hope and the different groups that you're talking about today, Music Resource Center. I just think it's wonderful that people like that are volunteering their time to keep that available.
All right, Mike. Thanks so much for calling in.
Sure. Thank you very much. Keep up the good work.
Thanks,
right.
Mike.
Mike, a local musician, Mike D'Antoni, who called in tell us his story about what got him started and why he's still going. 434-979-0919, 1135 on the wake-up call, talking about music, the Spark of Music, new nonprofit organization, how the music system works, with Amy Laufer, a representative of the Charlottesville City School Board, and Red Ganiram, who's a local musician with Ted and the Romantics. I need to take a break. Red, you want to give me another one of those little hum poetry pieces?
Yeah, I just wrote this one last week. Out on the open road, on the great highway, where the big wheels roll and they carry you away, away from home. Out on the open road, I'm bound to go, far away from home. From the mountains high to the valley low, across the plains and fields of gold.
Support for WNRN today comes from Italian Villa, Charlottesville's old-school diner at Emmett and Ivy. Before the game or after church, the Villa serves a full American breakfast all day. You can find burgers and specialty sandwiches for lunch, plus weekday lunch specials and an Italian dinner menu every night. That's Italian Villa, 129 Emmett Street North.
WNRN is supported by Jefferson Theater, presenting Anders Osborne with LB Brass Saturday, June 29th. New Orleans' Anders Osborne brings potent lyricism of his guitar playing, the depth of his songwriting, and his soulful vocals to each performance. Tickets for the June 29th show are at jeffersontheater.com. Anders Osborne, Saturday, at the Jefferson Theater.
Center for Human-Animal Interaction in Virginia Commonwealth University School of Medicine was established in 2001. Hi, I'm Dr. Sandra Barker, and this is the first center of its kind to be established in a school of medicine in the nation. CHI's most visible program is our Dogs on Call, our animal-assisted therapy and pet visitation program in the VCU Medical Center. CHI brings therapy dogs and their wonderful volunteer owners from the community to visit patients and staff throughout the medical center, and we research the benefits of human animal interaction. The Center for Human-Animal Interaction offers educational opportunities for medical and other students, and the center activities are made possible primarily through donations and with assistance from many talented volunteers. Visit our center website at chai.vcu.edu for more information.
Make your community connection with WNRN. Email connection at WNRN.org with your nonprofit event or organization's information. Independent Music Radio, WNRN.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And thank you for being with us today here on WNRN. This is Independent Community Radio. We're talking about music today. You heard Red Kinnearum from Red and the Romantics. We finished up there before our last break. Amy Laufer here from Charlottesville City School Board. Carla Mano from the local new organization, Spark of Music. Let me take a moment and tell folks, if you're interested in being a guest on the show for a current events roundtable for later this summer, you can email me at rmoore@wnrn.org. All right. Again, we are talking about music. Call us up if you want to tell us your tale about how music got deep enough inside you to make you a musician. 434-979-0919. That's 434-979-0919. Amy, you mentioned earlier today that there's a new director at in the Charlottesville school system.
Sure. So we've had Jeff Suling, who is near and dear to many people's hearts. He's a 26-year veteran at the Charlottesville City Schools. He's actually retiring this year, and he's being replaced by Aaron Eichors, who has also been in the city schools for 11 years as an elementary art teacher at Clark and Greenbrier. So we want to welcome him. He has some big shoes to fill, but I know he's been shadowing Jeff for this past week. So it should be exciting. It's going to be an exciting time for the schools.
Now, Carla, when you have someone new to the position, and I guess this question is irrelevant to whether the director is new to the spot or has been with the spot for a while, how does Spark of Music work with someone once you get approved by the school board to do the job? How do you work with someone in that position?
Right, that's a great question, Rick. I should mention that when I first went to talk with the Music Resource Center after we voted on going forward with Spark, I did also have a conversation with Jeff to find out where the school district was. Would this be helpful? Where might it be seen as, you know, detracting or not supporting of the existing programs? And he was supportive, and we both targeted an area where I wanted to begin, which was the Walker School, to discuss with teachers. So you know, it's not atypical in small districts like this for sort of upper management, if you will, to say, you know, why don't just go right to the source, go to the teachers, go to the assistant principal. They want to have a nod, understanding of what you're doing, but there's not this kind of micromanagement, which is really nice to know. So from the conversation with Jeff, which I'll have to repeat now with Aaron, which I don't think would be a challenge. I know Aaron's floated through as a recommendation on my Facebook, so that's the first thing I'll do when I get home is, write to him, introduce myself, and talk about where we are now. But I have had numerous conversations with the Walker teachers in meetings. They've identified instruments they need at this point. We identified there that it might be nice to start even earlier, so I've hooked up with one elementary school, had support with Peter Stern, who's the principal there, and we just sat in the office and made calls. You know, they can't release names and kids' names and things and information to you, so we just did it together, called families, and had resounding support from our first cohort of kids that we're going to try to find matching musicians for, as well as instruments if possible, so that they can get a leg up before they go to Walker. So Aaron will certainly need to be in the ongoing conversations, as well as helping us with what his fresh perspective is on what the district needs. I should also mention, Rick, that we're not just planning to work with the schools. We're also identify that there are, in fact, yesterday I heard a piece on I think your channel about the senior center and some efforts they're doing there there's so much research about the value of music for older folks and, you know, keeping that spark alive throughout the years and even developing it later in life. So we're interested in reaching out wherever there's a need, but we are starting at the sort of upper elementary and transition stages.
But was there specific, student from early in your teaching career that sort of ignited?
I'm so glad you asked that. Yeah, there is, and he actually would have been here today, except that he's at the beach with his family. I had a student, I think he'll be okay with me saying his name, Franklin Barber. He's just really a wonderful young man. Came to me in my naive first year of teaching with his schedule, first week of school. I'm 22, he's 12. And he says, Miss Mano, there's a mistake. I don't have band on my schedule. So I naively walk down to the band director. And again, we have these award-winning programs, which are really wonderful. But when I asked, why doesn't this kid have band? He said, oh, he's not. Not good enough, that he didn't make the cut transitioning to middle school. It was kind of a shock for me.
It's more like playing the high school varsity basketball team.
Exactly. And so one of the things that I've been careful to talk about through the years when I think about this idea, which is now coming to fruition, thanks again to support at Darden and community folks, is that there's nothing wrong with having this great award winning. I mean, in fact, it's wonderful. I call it the diamond of the school district. Really fabulous, especially with the standards movement and some of the, challenges in terms of maintaining the arts that so many places across the country have. But, my dream would actually be to have a beginning band and orchestra program and things that kind of maintain throughout, that kids who aren't maybe at that top level but have an interest, that they would be able to maintain it. So this is kind of our side way of doing that without getting...
The band club.
Something like that.
Not the varsity team.
Something like that. So, yeah, so this young man and I have been in, well, now he's, early 30s. You know how old I am. But, yeah, this is about, over 20 years ago so I had a friend who played the drums, and I said, would you give this guy some lessons on the side? And he did. So he did have some, we had an informal spark of music, I guess, back then, but that's as far as it went.
That's Carla Mano telling the story that sparked her interest in eventually putting this group together, the Spark of Music nonprofit. The website again, Carla?
It's sparkofmusic.org.
And there's an upcoming event for people to go and, I guess, see some of what's happening and make donations.
That's right. We have an online giving site. It goes through the UVA fund. You'll get a letter that you can use for your tax purposes, that specifically thanks you for your support. If you go to the website and would like an invitation to this benefit concert, you'll see the information at the events page, picture of the band, E3, and a link to the site. I would look forward to seeing folks on Thursday.
Carla Mano from the Spark of Music organization here in the Charlottesville Albemarle area. Red Kinnearum from Red and the Romantics. Can you tell us about your two bandmates and how they've come together, the Romantics, and how, you know, do you know their story of what was their spark?
Oh, wow, that's a great question. You know, I can tell you that both of them are Charlottesville natives, and they both came up in this community playing music, not so much Steve Riggs in the orchestra or the band, but I think he heard, I may be wrong, but I think he heard one of these wonderful blues men at a local club back in the 70s and said, that bass thing, that thing that's going boom, boom, that's what I want to play. I think that's what he told me. And with Betty Jo Dominic, she was classically trained on the piano at a young age and kind of kept up with it her whole life through raising children, and then kind of fell back in love with music after her children are grown. And she's also fallen in love with Steve Riggs and their compilation together kind of truly makes them romantic.
Yeah, and that's Rick. Can you hear him talking about his bandmates? You can hear Red and the Romantics at the Whiskey Jar on Monday nights and at Dirty Nelly's on Tuesdays?
That's right, yeah. And this Friday I'm especially excited. I've got the opportunity with Steve and Betty Jo and two fine other musicians, Seth Johnston on the drums and Steve Vargo on the lap steel. We're all going to be performing at the Fridays After 5 at the Pavilion this Friday, opening up for the Acme Swing Company, and they are an awesome swinging band, so we'll have to do some dancing after the fact.
And you don't get selected to play Fridays After 5 unless you got some talent. So congratulations on that.
Thank you very much.
Back to Amy Laufer from the Charlottesville City School Board. Amy, how do you take an organization like Spark of Music and convince other communities, because this is currently, is or is it not being done by Albemarle?
We're trying to focus where we know and just start small and then grow. So
right,
it's so currently
city. So currently just the city.
Focus on the city.
So, Amy, how does a Charlottesville City School Board, you feel that your project is a success, and I'm not saying that you're convinced of that now, but you, because I don't want to put words into 8 or 9 school board members, but you believe that it is. And how do you go about and convince other school boards and other school systems to try this sort of project?
I think just showing them the proof of how this has helped at least one child stay, you know, in the music program, and or even if they don't stay in the music program, just that they are still enjoying playing music and hearing music, and I think that's how we would do it. You know, I also want to say that, I think the difficulty for the school's band and orchestra is that some students are taking instrument before they get to Walker in their fifth grade. So we have various abilities. And I think what we're really hoping for Spark of Music is that they can help students that are just learning to become a little bit more proficient and have more confidence in their abilities. Me personally, that's what I'm hoping for. Because, as Carla just pointed out, you know, because there's such various abilities, you know, we see waning participation as they get older. So I know I personally am hoping that that can be helped through the Spark of Music with these private lessons.
No, Carla, currently Spark of Music is focusing on the Walker and Buford schools, sort of the middle schools here.
We're starting, we actually identified it first to start with Walker in conversations with with Jeff Suling, and then talked about with the Walker teachers starting even earlier, because they felt exactly what Amy was saying, that it's that some of the kids they never see who had a spark or an interest because they actually either the forms didn't make it home, or they, you know, the simple means of kind of getting that word out to the families, you can, if you can't afford to rent this instrument, we can help you, because the school district, I need to say, also is very good at providing instruments on a rental basis for kids. It's not as much of a barrier as it might seem, but that private lesson piece is. And now what we're learning is that to actually have the instruments at home, to have the kids who are showing some proficiency have ownership of an instrument. And that's one area where, like Mike D'Antoni, who called in, is helping me tease through how we can make that more affordable.
So how do you, at what point, or maybe you already are, reaching down to the younger age group, going down into the elementary schools?
Yeah, so we started, again, this year focusing on one elementary school with Johnson. We had a receptive principal and a teacher that identified a group of kids that are new to the program who would benefit. And so we've had a conversation with the families, support across the board. We look for preferences. We want to make this easy for the families. So I've talked with parents about whether they'd like someone to come to their home, or do they have transportation, you know, get all of those facts down. And then we're going to see how that goes this summer and hopefully support the transition to Walker in conversation with those teachers. So that's where we're starting.
Without mentioning names, do you have some schools that are more receptive than others into trying this and fitting this into their programs?
I've had 100% receptivity where I've had the time to reach out. We haven't gone to all the elementary schools yet. We just started again with the one. But my hope is that by next year, with these conversations, and thank you for helping us get the word out, that in the spring we'll be able to go actually have tables from Spark of Music at each school when parents come for picking up kids and things, to start to answer these questions that are very easily answered one-on-one that might not be translated as much on paper based on language issues, reading abilities, etc. So we're looking to kind of cut through some of those barriers at the parent contact stage.
All right, that's Carla Mano from the Spark of Music organization here in the Charlottesville area. We are talking about music and how to help reach a younger age group, find the internal spark for folks. Amy Laufer here from the Charlottesville City School Board, Carla Mano from the nonprofit sparkofmusic.org, and Red Kinnearum from Red and the Romantics.
Support for WNRN Today comes from L. Oppelman, serving Lynchburg for 122 years. In addition to loans, L. Oppelman deals in jewelry, musical instruments, rifles and handguns, game systems, TVs, cameras and tools, with new inventory arriving every day. L. Oppelman, 909 Main Street, downtown Lynchburg.
WNRN is supported by the Bud Light Concert Series at the Intellos Wireless Pavilion, presenting The Beach Boys, Wednesday, August 28th. The Beach Boys are led by Mike Love and Bruce Johnston, where the beach isn't just a place to surf, it's where life is renewed and made whole again. Tickets are at theintelloswirelesspavilion.com.
And as we talk about music, let me remind everyone the tickets for the Interlochen Music Festival are on sale now, featuring Neil Young and Crazy Horse, Further with Phil Lesh and Bob Weir, Black Crowes, Widespread Panic, John Fogerty, and String Cheese Incident, plus lots more. Interlochen is donating a portion of every ticket sold through the WNRN website. That's WNRN.org. Just click through the Interlochen banner on our website. Use the promo code WNRN when you buy your tickets to the Interlochen Music Festival. It's coming to Nelson County soon, September 5th through the 8th. You'll be making a donation to WNRN.org. Don't forget Neil Young and Crazy Horse, Black Crowes, String Cheese Incident, Widespread Panic. Get your tickets at WNRN.org. All right, 11:55 in the wake-up call. I want to make sure that I get in a last song here from Red and the Romantics. I've got it queued up, Red Oak Express, from that namesake album. So we're going to finish up with that. Just a couple more questions here, and then we'll go out. By the way, next week we're going to be talking with representatives from Virginia Bio. We're going to talk about biotechnology, discoveries in the field, to the economics throughout the state. Carla, one of the things that I found really interesting was that we've mentioned that you know, help the kids learn how to play a song, you know, get comfortable with an instrument, get some private lessons. You do this with bands. This isn't just like get the kid the cello or the trumpet or the violin. Kids can get their band to get what they think they want to do as a band and take band lessons?
Well, we have some, I need to give a nod to some of our really well-known supporters just in name. You know, Maddie Metcalf played in his band Jolie Fee for one of our benefits, and he is just an amazing musician, multi-talented across instruments, and he does actually give... You know, he has like a jazz band and a rock band, I believe, in his cohort of students. At least I've been to a couple of his concerts where they do. So we do have people that would be supportive in songwriting and supporting those kind of ensembles because we know what kids get out of that camaraderie. And we do pay our musicians. I want to let you know before we go out how people can help. We do accept there's a form on our website at sparkofmusic.org where you can put in how you can help. If you are a musician, we do take, you know, volunteers in terms of you're willing to play maybe for a benefit concert, you're willing to support a student, you're willing to maybe not give free lessons, but you're willing to be paid, which is actually why we raise the funds, is mostly to be able to pay our musicians, because we don't want that just to always be expected that you've got this talent you're going to give away for free. And we want to support musicians in their instructor training. So we'll have people like Maddie and others who will be able to provide instructor training. If you're interested in making a donation, we also have that link there through on the event as well as the donate site. And, you know, our sort of high-end vision of people donating could be if you have the means to support one kid for a year of lessons that would be in the range of $500 to $600. So if you'd like to be one of our sort of gold members, that would be something that you could do and really have ownership in sharing your gift to a student. But yeah, bands are not out of the realm of reason.
All right. Finishing up our program here on WNRN Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, that's Carla Mano representing sparkofmusic.org. The show is this Thursday, right?
Yes, Thursday, 7:30 to 10:30 at the Music Resource Center. If you'd like an invite, it is a private event. You need to go to our event link on sparkofmusic.org, and all the information is there.
All right, Amy Laufer from the Charlottesville City School Board. Amy, people writing in to say what a great program this is helps keep it alive and helps maybe spread the word?
Yes, absolutely. I think it's wonderful. I love that Carla's doing this, and I'm excited that the city schools has invited her in and provided her resources to get the organization going.
And over here, our musician for the day, Red Kinnearum from Red and the Romantics, opening this Friday at Fridays After 5.
Jolly good. Thank you very much, Rick.
All right. We're going to go out with one of Red and the Romantics' song, A Red Oak Express. Thanks to everybody for tuning in.
The Red Oak Express is a fine machine. Takes me where I want to go. She drinks oil and gasoline. Rolling up and down the road, it's all aboard and make way. The Red Oak Express is a coming through. It's around the bend and here she comes. The Red Oak Express is on the run. She's bull strong, horse high and pig tight. Thunder comes a rumbling out of her pipe. Break down when we haul. The Red Oak Express is the best of them all. It's around the bend and here she comes. The Red Oak Express is on the run. All aboard and make way. The Red Oak Express.
This has been your Sunday Morning Wake Up Call on WNRN. The Wake Up Call is supported by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or